We're not all meant to be glowing, you know, giving birth.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can walk in and just say, put it in my back. And that is me.
Right.
So
I love that.
I would be a very interesting doula. I'd be like, oh my God, what? How many milligrams does me with the needle? Like, what do you want? Full or half? Do you want to walk right after in, you know, a couple days?
Sorry, did you say yes? Because I'm already...
I can't remember, but I've already put it in your back.
This is Pod Crushed,
the podcast that takes the sting out of rejection, one crushing middle school story at a time.
And where guests share their teenage memories, both meaningful and mortifying.
And we're your hosts. I'm Nava, a former middle school director.
I'm Sophie, a former fifth grade teacher.
And I'm Penn, a middle school dropout. We're just three Baha'is who are living in Brooklyn.
Wanting to make stuff together with a particular fondness for awkward nostalgia.
Well, I struggle with nostalgia. I'm here for the therapy.
Penn, can you describe your surroundings right now?
They're beautiful. Why? I don't understand. I have, if you can hear this, can you hear that?
Faintly, a whisper in the background.
That's a parka. That's a thin, packable parka behind me. I'm surrounded by coats and a blanket. I'm in a hotel room that I'm paying too much money for, frankly. It's a small room. But I've hung up jackets on the television that's above me, and it just looks, I'm going to throw it to the episode a little bit. I feel like I'm in a womb. I feel a warm womb-like. There's a lot of burgundy around me as well. And I think the sound is pretty good.
It does sound pretty good.
We have Shay Mitchell today for our guest.
Yes, you probably know her best from her time playing Emily Fields on Pretty Little Liars or the iconic Peach Salinger on a little show called You.
Actress, author, influencer, entrepreneur. A lot of hyphens there. I'll let her talk about more of them later. And then what do? We go to applause?
It's an ad break, so you should say, so stick around. We'll be right back.
So stick around, and we will be right back.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
We'd love to hear a picture of what you were like in middle school. I know you went to middle school in Canada.
Yes.
So we'd love to know, like, what were you wearing? What music were you listening to? How would your teachers describe you? How would your friends describe you? Who did you have a crush on?
Mm-hmm.
All the juicy
names.
Middle school details.
First and last.
Names. Oh, my God. I have a little burn book. No, I'm kidding. Not really. Middle school for me was very interesting. I would say in elementary school, I had a really close-knit group of friends. Middle school was super fun. It was where I felt a lot more free than when I ended up in high school. Mm. High school for me, my friend group just kind of disappeared, and it was like mean girl realization.
Wow.
Did not have a great experience high school, literally right in grade 8, just because it was wild when you bring in like older boys. Jealous girls, that just doesn't mix. And so for me, my memory of that is literally, and I've said this before a few times, but like eating my lunch in the bathroom, I just did not want to go to the cafeteria. Whereas middle school felt very different. You know, there wasn't like a cafeteria where everybody was in different groups. It was just like, I don't know, everybody was friends, at least in my experience. And, you know, at recess and at lunch, I grew up in Vancouver. And we would just be out in the forest, running around, tag. You know, that was the first form of, like, flirtation. You'd chase the boy you liked, or, like, he would chase you. That was, like, my whole thing. But, yeah, it really all changed grade 8 for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the grades are in the States, but, yeah, when grade 8 is when you move over to a new school. Mm-hmm. And it's just that transition is, yeah. I have PTSD.
I can see it on your face.
Yeah, from my high school. It's just very, like, daunting how they set it all up, you know? And our cafeteria was kind of in the middle, and you'd have these two staircases that went up. So, like, you'd have eyes on everybody that was coming down to the cafeteria, and it was just like the stadium of, I don't know. So, for me, it was just safer to chill in the bathroom with my sandwich.
Yeah. When did you start acting and sort of branching out into your creative career. Did that happen while you were in high school?
No, not until I finished. For some reason, I had no yearning to go to drama class. I never did a drama class in my life.
But it's such a cool thing to do. Why not?
I know.
All the cool kids are in drama.
I know. I don't know. I just knew that I would pick it up later on. And I didn't want to do it in school. I wanted to just do other things. Because I maybe deep down was like, oh, I want that as a career. I want to do that full time in the future. Let's not do that right now.
Yeah.
You know, and do other things.
You had strategy. you had wits and you had strategy. Yeah.
I was probably also super shy. I mean, I don't love acting classes as it is. Do you know what I mean? Like that's
nobody loves
terrifying.
Acting class. I don't think I like acting class.
But I think some people love an acting class, mm-hmm. but it's very daunting mm-hmm. to me. And I think that that's what I felt too in school.
How did you break into the industry?
I started acting. So I grew up in Vancouver, but I moved to Toronto when I was about 18. And when I came to Toronto, I was taking different acting classes and I was like, all right, like my favorite show. Oh, I'd been on Degrassi. I did one episode. So that was like me getting my toes wet. And I'm like, oh, I love this.
How did that happen?
Did you meet Drake?
I didn't meet Drake. I had a scene with Nina Dobrev. I was modeling and it was my modeling agency that was like, hey, they are casting a model actor. You said you wanted to act. Blah, blah, blah. And so I auditioned for it, got it. And that was my first thing. And then from that, I got an acting agent and went through it like that. And then my show that I had on my vision board, I'm very vision boarded. I had Gossip Girl and I was like, I want to be on a show in the States. And I was like, this was the biggest thing. I was a huge fan. And I'm like, you know, there's nothing like that in Canada and I need to get to the States. So that was like my show. And I was like, I have to get there. And Nina was telling me about a show she had just booked, which was, you know, obviously Vampire Diaries. So you know, I'd made a connection in the States through my agency and then auditioned to get on Pretty Little Liars when it came out and then moved to the States right after that. And the rest is history.
So your vision board, you kind of put a few things on
had
it. You got like 2 out of 3. You're success rate is pretty solid, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a teen choice board on there. I had palm trees.
Wait, and you've gotten a teen choice award, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Oh my God, you manifested.
Tell us what else was on your vision board. I want to hear.
So that was there. I had a white Range Rover, which...
Do you have a white Range Rover?
I did have a white Range Rover. When I first moved to LA, I got a white Ford Escape. And that was my first step to then getting a white Range Rover.
Okay.
Then I had a white Range Rover. Then I had a Spanish style looking house.
Do you have a Spanish style?
I don't think we need to even ask anymore. I think it's fair to say all the
Shay, can you come do a vision board for me?
I'm going to take it one step even like, I was going to say creepier, but cooler. This house that I had seen, I had saved a picture of the kitchen and I ended up moving into that exact
Shut the front door.
I'm not going to lie. I also may have manifested like Atlas and I had a photo of this baby and I've had it saved. I show it to everybody.
Oh my God.
And I literally was like, oh my gosh, I just all of a sudden I saw this baby. I can't tell you if I saw it on Pinterest. It was not on Instagram. It was like something way back. So
it was
Pinterest.
On your wall on MySpace.
There's no walls on MySpace.
I saved it. And literally my daughter, like Atlas has like crazy green eyes and that's the same thing that these babies had.
So was there anything on your vision board that you didn't see through?
Well, one thing, I mean, I have Italy on there and I think that's in the future. That's not a yeah now thing, but that's probably where I'm going
to
end up.
But I mean, have you been to Italy? Are you supposed to become the prime minister or what? Like what's the...
It's my favorite. No, my thing with Italy is just that I have a home there and I, you know, learn how to make pasta.
I feel like we're 6 months away from that.
I mean,
that's
you
just
never
sort of
know.
Up to you. That's just sort of like, I don't
know. No, you're right. And it was so funny because I was looking back. I also saw a lot of psychics in my day and I wrote down this one psychic meeting that I had. Truly, if I were to show you all the things that she said, everything came true. She was like, oh, 6 months from now, you're going to meet this guy, you know, gave me the initials of my then manager. In a year or something like that, you're going to book the show. You'll work. This point, like she literally stated it all out down to like my future children's gender, which so far she's been right. And it's just wild. But I am a very big believer of manifesting and visualization. Like I really am. Also fate, but like
And you're a sorceress, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I'm honestly far less impressed by the psychic.
I also, I mean, I'm going to be honest. Before I got you, I did say, I broke down, I want to shoot a show in New York. Mm. And you came about and that shot in New York. And that was like always something that I'd wanted to do. So,
jeez. Oh my goodness, you have to be careful.
I'm a little nervous. How much longer do we have?
tell me your wishes. but... I don't know. I feel like anybody can do it.
Yeah.
You just really have to believe. You have to believe in it. You can't be wishy-washy.
What was your vision board on?
It was corkboard.
Corkboard. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is somebody writing this down?
It was in my apartment in Toronto, and I pinned them all up.
You pinned them
in my kitchen.
What color were the pins?
They were like the little silver ones you got from IKEA. Like, I just fully believed it. I mean, it's not like I was like, oh, let's see if this works. I knew it would.
Wow.
Well, I feel like there's part of manifestation that is like, that seems kind of mystical, but then there's also part of it that's not mystical at all. It's like, of course, the things that you write down, the goals that you set for yourself, if you're like thinking about them consistently or you're reminding yourself to work on them. Yeah.
Yes.
I watched this video yesterday of Kerry Washington talking about.
Saw it.
You saw it?
Bust.
TikTok?
Yes. Huge. Loved that. I've never heard a
Wait, tell
said
us
like
about
that.
It. Tell
okay.
us about it.
One of the concepts she talks about is she says you have to pray and then you have to run. Like if, well, oh God, I'm really butchering this. Okay, she's saying.
Run?
No. Okay, wait. Start from the beginning. So
I'm with you.
Okay. So imagine there's you're waiting.
Okay. Imagine
for
a prayer,
bus.
Right?
Okay. Imagine the bus coming is your opportunity, right? And so if you're gonna try and catch that bus, you need to pray and then you need to run as fast as you can. And if you're not running,
but aren't you wasting time praying?
No,
you know how much
both.
I love to pray.
Shay,
I don't know
tell
about
the story.
This.
Shay, do it.
You may miss all the buses. However, if you think I want to catch that bus, praying, just saying that's my bus, and you book it for the bus and the bus takes off and you didn't get on it, it wasn't meant to be your bus.
Okay.
But if you want to get on that bus and you just slowly walk towards it and it leaves, that could have been your bus and that's a missed opportunity. So basically
that.
Just like having a goal and setting something, but really working hard for it. Because if it doesn't work out, if you don't book that job, then it wasn't meant to be. But it wasn't meant to be if you really tried. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like sometimes when you don't get that job, but you did prepare for that audition is actually a blessing. You weren't meant to get it.
Yeah.
You know, but if you don't prepare for the job and you don't book the audition, well, it could have been yours and it could have been life changing, but
yeah,
that's on you.
Well, thank God for you.
Yeah, because we would not have gotten that from Sophie's retail.
Wait, I know there's a bus. I know there's...
When I was younger, before I had a legal ID, I was out in clubs, maybe or maybe not, telling my parents I was staying at somebody else's house when I wasn't. My dad did end up showing up at the club, and it was like picking out all the little ducklings, which were my friends.
No way.
One of the moms had told him where we were because she didn't let her daughter go. And he came to the club and he told the bouncer, he was like, you're going to want to let me in because my underage daughter and her friends are all inside. And he came in and found each and every one of us. And we got dragged out like little ducklings. And I was probably 16. And in Canada, the legal drinking age is 19. Mm. So it wasn't, yes, we were pretty young to be in a club. And I may or may not have done it again. But, you know, it's something that I won't ever forget. I just did it better the next time. So.
Yeah.
Wait, Shay, I have to ask, what was the conversation at home like once you were separated from your friends?
You know what's funny? My dad still loves to tell this story. He actually wasn't that angry. He was laughing. He thought it was funny. Wow. You know, he knew that this would be a story he'd love to tell his friends that he pulled us all out. But I was angry. Like, I flipped the switch. And instead of being like, okay, I'm sorry. I turned angry. And I was like, how did you pull us out? I was having a good time. And he's like, you're 16. So I flipped the switch to him. And it's so funny now, again, being a parent, because I'm like, what would I do in that situation? You know? But I thought it was my right to be out. And how dare you catch me?
In high school, I was living in China. And there was no drinking age, at least for foreigners living in China. And so it was just like super normal for all the kids at my high school to be going out. I would tell my parents I was going to sleep over at somebody's house and I would go to the club. But in middle school, I was more like, I remember someone asked me, they were like, come with me to McDonald's. It was late at night. I was like, I'm not going to be allowed. I have to stay home. They're like, just sneak out. And I was like, no, I could not, I could never.
I pray that my daughter is like you. I pray.
I remember when I was in seventh grade, we were at like this kid's beach house. Everyone, we were playing like spin the bottle. And I was like, should I play? Should I not? Should I? And then I ended up playing and I kissed this kid named Sarel. And then I started crying. And it was like my first kiss. And I was like, nobody tell my mom. I don't know why anyone would tell my mom. But I was like going up to each person at the party like, nobody tell my mom. She's going to be so disappointed in me. And then as soon as I got home, I hugged my mom and started crying. And I was like, I kissed Sarel today.
Oh my gosh.
That's the kind of 12-year-old that I was.
I mean, that's amazing. That's here so I am funny. Telling my stories about sneaking up multiple times and like not feeling bad about it. Oh my gosh.
I think that's more normal.
See, I don't feel like the circumstance that existed for a lot of us who were working, we were already professional. Our school situation was all over the place. We were a bunch of college graduates who had never been to high school. And you know, you're so young, you feel so old somehow, but you're just so young. When I see 16-year-olds now, my goodness.
Well, you think they look older or younger when you see 16-year-olds now?
Oh, no. I think they look younger. They look like babies to me.
Really?
I mean, what?
I think the opposite. No, when I see 16-year-old girls now, I think because of YouTube and TikTok and all the makeup tutorials and I think they have grown up way faster and look a lot more mature than when I was growing up.
No, I feel you there. I don't know. Is it when you talk to them? Or actually more when you hear them talk? I was... So I went in my car on the streets of New York, the hard scrabble streets of New York City, sitting in my Subaru Outback. And I had my window cracked in between two phone calls. And I heard a bunch of like 14, 15-year-old kids walk by. And to me, it's like I heard them say something that you wouldn't want to hear an adult say. But they sounded like babies. They sounded like babies you know what I mean? They were like parroting what they thought they should be saying.
I don't want to even know what I sounded like at 16. Oh. I'm like, thank goodness it's not like voice recording version of Instagram. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Photos are enough. Like, thank goodness.
When I was in like middle high school, like on the cusp, there was this thing where you would record videos on people's walls on Facebook and you would record them like as if you're just sending them a text. And they would be public videos. And some friends of mine found them recently and they're... mortifying. It's just like, hey, it's like you're taking a photo booth video.
That is amazing.
You're just like chatting to your friend. Like,
here's how connected to that idea I just was. When you said on their wall, I literally thought you meant on their wall. I even sound like I'm trying to sound like an old man. No, I literally thought.
I believe you. I believe
Facebook on their wall?
Ken, did you have MySpace?
I did for a moment. And it literally was to stay in touch with a girl that I had met. Who lived across the world and and I used my mom's laptop and her little like internet card that like stuck in the side.
Yeah, it was a little card.
And I crafted this page to be like, this is just my page. But all I ever thought about was what this woman would think.
Did you have a song?
I know, that's what I was just gonna say. Like, what was your song?
I probably put a D'Angelo song.
This just gets better and better. Oh my gosh, things you never knew.
What about you, Shay? Did you have a MySpace?
I did have a MySpace. My song was probably, I don't know, J-Lo. I'm thinking that's when her album On The Six came out. Big J-Lo
Such
fan, Janet Jackson. Yeah.
Oh, On The Six.
My Love Don't Cost A Thing. Maybe it was that. Probably was. Ugh. I felt like super techie when I had MySpace because I could go in and do the codes. Remember how we were doing that? Like
No, what do you mean?
You had to like change your background. So to change your background to get like cool things added to it, like MP3 players to your page, you'd have to go in and code through the back. And like, I did that. And now I have no idea how to start a Zoom, you know? So I think back to those moments. I wish I could try and find mine. I don't know. Do they delete the whole thing? Who knows? But that would be funny to see.
You know, my husband, he told me about this website where you can go back and find old web pages that no longer exist. Like, he found his old band website from 2005 or something, or 2008.
Wow.
It's really, really cool. And also, I don't want anyone to know about
that
website.
Don't release the URL.
Exactly. So, yeah. Cool. Period. Leave it at that, please.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
I went to middle school in the Philippines. Mall culture in the Philippines is like huge. You spend all Saturday at the mall. And one of the things that was really notable for me is that, I mean, the Philippines is always at any given moment, it's like above 92 degrees, right? It's like sweltering. Yes. But the mall was like pumped full of AC. And that's the one place where we got to show off our winter fashion. So,
AKA jeans and like a 3/4 length shirt.
And Uggs. Yeah. It was like Uggs were big. But you had to have Uggs. And the only place you could wear them was at the mall. So we'd spend all day there. Right. I had this shirt that I would wear so often that had like the Beatles on it. And I remember feeling so cool. Like I was like,
unique.
Yeah, my older siblings showed me the Beatles and I know all their songs.
I love that. Malls are very big, as Penn and I both can attest from our trip to the Philippines.
Actually, was that the last time that we saw each other?
So much fun.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that? I feel like I saw a video that was insane of you guys at a mall in the Philippines.
I think our perspectives are probably very different from that trip.
No, I want to hear about yours first.
I mean, I was very excited. I'd been there and I was super excited to go back. My mom's from there. So much of how I grew up with seeing my aunts and my uncles and the food and the people, and they're so warm and all of that was very nostalgic, because I remember just growing up and having parties and barbecues with all of my Filipino side, which is a lot. My mom is one of 10. So, you know, it was really great to be able to go back, not only to talk about the show and be there, but like to bring somebody else and have them experience it through their eyes. So I remember having the dessert, like Halo Halo. We had Halo Halo at, you know, one of the hotels, and it was like the biggest Halo Halo. So
it was
not normal to get it that size. So I just remember laughing so hard when they brought it out, because Penn's like, what is this? And, you know, it's massive, but I know that that's not the typical size of it, but he doesn't know that. So he's just like, "Does you eat all this?" And I'm like, we got to finish it, you know, and it's just him in these photos with this Halo Halo. And then to your point, we went to the mall after to do sort of a meet and greet. And they were very passionate and they were very excited to see him. And there were a lot of people.
Oh, so we were greeted by, I don't know, you think it was 1,000 or maybe more than 1,000?
That looked like 2,000? Definitely more than 1,000.
More than 1,000.
It was maybe thousands of people screaming in a mall, which is very loud because there's no soft fabric in a mall. It's just, the only soft fabric are the people inside showing off their winter apparel, evidently.
The Uggs.
Everything else, it's just a marble-like ear canal. I don't think I'd ever been greeted from the moment the elevator door opened by such a wall of just screaming, faces flashing, screaming, so many thousands. And it was just like, yeah, I don't know. So had you, I mean, was that like more typical for you or?
No, it was definitely not typical. However, my memory that you're explaining happened in Brazil when I went. I went to Brazil, we went to Sao Paulo and Rio. And our show was very big for PLL there. And I went with Lucy, and I'll never forget, even landing at the airport, so many people showing up at the airport, knocking down gates. I was so freaked out. Wow. This is my first show like this. Getting in the car, there's people speeding motorbikes, taking photos, to then getting to our hotel. And I remember seeing photos of me in my hotel room because they had gotten on other buildings shooting in
That's
there.
Scary.
So that was something for me that I was just like a slightly traumatized a little bit, and just like, oh my God, like I can't, my balcony, if I step out, then they see. And there's so many incredible people, but they were just like, they were outside of our hotel and so passionate. But, you know, when it's just you and then thousands upon thousands of fans, it's a little daunting. So I had that experience.
You keep saying things like a little.
I know, because it was very daunting. You know, looking back on it, because you're also like, thank you so much for being so passionate.
Sure, sure.
And it's, you know, because of you guys that our show is huge. But when I'm here and I've never been to this place and I can't go outside because I'm in fear of being trampled, that's scary. So I felt a little bit safer in the Philippines. It was a little, I don't know, for the, I don't know what it was. I think just because I had experienced it once before.
Yeah.
I was a little more prepared. I don't know. It was still a lot though. It always is.
It was funny too, because like up in my room, across the like highway, because there aren't that many tall buildings in Manila. Like, mm-hmm. I guess there's centers where there are, but there's, it's not like New York City, for mm-hmm. instance.
Totally.
So I could see across the, like really far into the horizon.
Yeah.
And there was a giant billboard that just had my face on it and just said you.
Mm. And oh my God.
It just was a very Truman Show experience, yeah. where there's yeah. just my face and it just says you. And I'm like, you, me, you,
wow,
me, right, right. You, I can't imagine. Me.
You know, it's not a normal experience to have. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it to anybody.
That's Ken's experience there, and I'm in my hotel room ordering everything off, like just eating away as he's looking at himself, and I'm just like, yeah, more, because like love the food there. And I brought my best friend, which was also amazing fun. Because yeah, when you're by yourself on a trip, it's very different.
Yeah.
I would love to go back. It was beautiful. You know, we went. And we had a really nice time after that as well. It's mm-hmm. like it's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been.
I want to go back too. I haven't been back since I was 13 or yeah. maybe 14. And
maybe go back with Penn.
Yeah.
Be a friend with him and experience
oh my God,
it in
I would
a different
love
way.
That.
We'll travel like Filipino gangsters, you know, with
a whole entourage.
Squad. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Like, you see me on that billboard?
Have people been respectful with you being out with Atlas? Have you ever had encounters where you felt like, this is crossing a line, I'm with my kid?
Yeah, that's when it gets a little bit more protective. Because when you come up to me recording, that's, I don't care. Makeup, no, I don't get, like, I'll take a photo no matter what I am looking like when I'm out or how I feel. But when I'm with my daughter, mm-hmm. you know, and it's a very tricky thing because people say, well, you post her on social. Yeah, I do. And that's so that I was in control of her image, and I wanted to put her out when I wanted to put her out, and so I didn't have weirdos trying to get that creepy first photo of her. Anyways, but for me, it's like there has to be a real respect level when it comes to walking up to her and taking them, and that has happened before where they just thought, oh my God, that's like your little mini me, like, hi, mm-hmm. and I was like, put your mm-hmm. phone down, like, you can take mm-hmm. a photo with me. You cannot take a photo with her. I will put her photo out when I feel like it.
Right.
But yeah, that's like a whole other level. And it really, like, you know, I'm sure Penn can attest. Like, it's like Mama Bear really does come out with that.
Mama Bear Penn comes out.
Yeah, Mama Bear Penn comes out. Yeah. Watch out, you know. But it's tough. What do you do? There's no rule book to anything. And especially mm-hmm. in this kind of weird light that we're in, it's like, you know, it's like, what way do you go? Do you never post a photo? I've talked to my friends that haven't done that, and sometimes they even feel...
I've tried that.
Right. Like, you know, but then at the end of the day, if they want to see a photo of your kid, you just Google it. I don't care how hard you try and hide it. I can find photos of everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's such a tricky thing that I think about constantly. Like, did I do the right? Did I not? What?
Yeah, it's new territory.
In a somewhat of a public figure light, and I chose that for my life, and she will too. But if it's done in a protective way and you have respect, then I'm okay with it. But it's weird. It's, you don't know. You don't know what's right. You're just trying to do what you feel.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, of course.
No one knows.
From what you're describing, it's, you know, it's a lot of accomplishments. And I'm just wondering if you've had moments of like failure and how you've met that and how you've sort of recovered from that.
I really do try to leave that in the room. Like, once I walk out of an audition or I'm done, I'm done. And whatever's meant to be will be to that point. If I've tried really hard, that's all I can do. And I don't think about it too much longer after that. And I think similarly with starting, you know, businesses. I started Base, which is my travel line about almost like 4 years ago. And I remember just being so nervous the night before it launched. And I was like, oh my gosh, but what if, like, this doesn't do well? Mm-hmm. Like, I've poured my heart and soul. And this wasn't something I was just putting my face on. Like, mm-hmm. every zipper, every detail, I showed that in a video, how involved I was. This is my, like, firstborn child was this brand. And then there was a point where I was just like, okay, but if it fails and it doesn't work out, then what? Then I had the guts to try doing it. And that's honestly how I live my life. You know, if it's starting things, if it's executive producing things, if it's doing things that I've never done before, and I probably don't even have the experience or the education for it. I don't care. I throw myself into it because I know in the experience I'll figure it out. And for me, that's the best way that I learn. It's not school. I'm not very academic. And I have to be thrown into an experience to fully understand all aspects of it. So more than the failures, because I don't look at them like that, I just kind of see them as like missteps. And then, you know, you get back on the path and you learn from them. So
that sounds like a grit, you know, like not getting stuck or like dwelling in something that didn't work out.
Because what's the point? Yeah. We don't know how much time we have. Yeah, I'm not going to spend it worrying about what could have or should have been. I put the effort in. If it doesn't work out, it wasn't meant for me. And there's something else coming. And that's just how I view it. And I think you have to, especially in, you know, the creative space and acting. There's so many jobs you won't get, but then something comes around and you're like, thank God I didn't get that, you know?
Like 99% of them you actually will not get. I'll tell you my key to success is when an opportunity comes along, I rigorously doubt it and then I say no. And then somehow it just happens. And, you know, it takes off.
It takes off and 8 years in, you're just like, wow. Yeah.
You know?
Oh my God.
You sign once on that dotted line and then it just goes. You sign once. It just goes. You say yes for one moment.
Every time I see a new pickup, I'm just like, I love it. I'm so excited for you.
Shay, I watched so much, maybe all of your series on YouTube about being pregnant. It was hilarious. I love it so much. But I'm wondering, I mean, this is kind of related to what we were just talking about, but I'm wondering if having a child, having your second, if it's brought up anything for you. Like sometimes having a child can bring up things for you that you haven't thought about, like how you were parented or, yeah, I'm just wondering like what has it brought up for you in like thinking back on your life and your experience?
I'm so fortunate. I have a really close relationship to my parents. You know, they really just, I don't know, they were great at pushing you to go for things you want, but never too much. Like I didn't go to university or college and there was never even a like, why not? Like they were like, okay, you want to explore and go. And like, but it always done in like the right amount, not too free, just the right amount, you know? And it was just, I always felt unconditional love from them. And I think that's my biggest lesson is I've truly felt like that is the most purest form of unconditional love was how I got it from my parents. And I hope to instill that with Atlas. We had dinners every single night and I hated it back in the day. I was like, this is horrible. None of my friends have to sit down. They can watch, they can eat dinner and watch TV. Like I wanted, you know, but now I look back at all the things that they had us do. And I grew up with my grandparents too. So it was like a house of seven, my great grandma, my dad's mom and my dad's dad. And that too was such a huge part of building who I am, you know? So
has having kids shifted at all your relationship with like spirituality or, you know, I don't know, Shay, if you have any kind of spiritual practices or beliefs, but I've heard people say when they have kids, they sort of like think about it in a fresh way. And I'm just curious if that's happened.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. For me, I think I've leaned on it even more so. Spirituality and just like, you know, the greater spirit for me in my case. And I think that because when you have a child, I mean, you're just like, oh my gosh, wanting to do everything in your power to protect them. And there's only so much you can do. So you really do have to rely on like this greater spirit, you know, and whatever anybody wants to call that. And so for me, I've definitely leaned on it more and also therapy. I'm like, truth be told, I've upped my therapy game a lot more in having kids because, you know, I always tell everybody the moment you find out you're pregnant until the end of time, you're always thinking about them, you know? So it definitely changes. Pen, I'm sure you have.
I just think it kind of magnified, you know? In the last few months of Dom's pregnancy, I happened to be reading Genesis, like the, you know, the first chapter of the Old Testament. And something about that was really mystical for me. I was a little bit like blown away by how mystical it was. And somehow that really did carry into, like, by the time he was born, I don't know, there was just this very serene excitement, like as he was coming through you know, being in the presence of someone giving birth is like really it's really powerful. It's not the first time it had happened because my wife is a doula and I had actually driven somebody in labor to the hospital before in the city. And I did that whole thing where I like rolled the window down. I was going through the tunnel and I was like, hey man, I have someone giving birth in the back. Like you need to let me through. And he was like, oh, okay. It was like I was Hugh Grant in a movie. I don't know why I said Hugh Grant. It was somebody
totally.
Else.
That was perfect.
Shout out to Hugh Grant. That was no shade. Much respect. But I recall the feeling then. It's like being in the presence of someone giving birth is really, 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 really powerful. And for me, I don't get anxious. It's the opposite. I drop way down into this serenity and I'm like, this is what we're here for. Let's do this. You know? And just to answer your question simply, as I said, it's just magnified. I don't know that anything has changed, so to speak, except that to me, it's ever more important to like raise a responsible, caring, sensitive human being. It's just like, it's just huge in my mind. Mm. And he's not old enough yet for me to feel like that's a challenge. Mm-hmm. He's just so sweet. He's just so friggin' sweet.
Yes.
So.
I have not given birth yet, hopefully one day in the future, but I believe that there's like a physical plane and there's a spiritual plane. And I knew someone who was telling me about her birth, and she was saying that when she gave birth was like the one moment in her life where she felt like she was in both planes. Like she was almost, she had like one foot in each, and it was like she was like a portal for a different realm or reality. And I was
that's like, what it feels like you're in the presence of, though. That's what, to me, I mean,
not
being the one. I'm saying it feels like you're standing next to the portal.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. It's like I can't imagine what it would be like to be
the portal.
That's ridiculous. That is science fiction right there.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah. It's so crazy how, I mean, every experience truly is different. Mm-hmm.
That's not my experience.
Oh, man. I really wish I was like, just could go in, like, into it in a very different way. I'm, you know, this time around, like, going in there and like, please give me the epidural immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, no, that's fair.
I tried, and it was not for me. But yeah, I could definitely see that. That's a good way to put it, actually, is a portal. I mean, it's very... Yeah, it's true.
I mean, look, the portal is happening either way. Like, I'm sensitive to what you're saying, Shay, because my wife also being somebody who is in the birth world, like, I know that there's a problematic thing where people have this idea of, you know, what like a natural, quote-unquote, beautiful birth is going to be like. And, you know, you talk about all this beautiful, lovely stuff, and it is amazing. But then, you know, a lot of women, I dare say, probably even, I think, statistically, it might be most women are having traumatic births in some manner.
Yeah.
I mean, it is like a potentially, there's a lot happening there. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, even my wife's first child is a profoundly different experience. Like, I mean, she nearly died.
I had really severe prepartum last time, which I'd also never really heard about. Yeah. I'd only heard about postpartum. And, you know, it was really crazy to go through that and not know if I was like, okay, I know that this happens at the end, but I'm feeling like weird now. Mm. And I haven't even given birth. So this is terrifying. Again, I think that's a thing that I always find so important to talk about, is that everybody's experience is different. As much as you want it to be this amazing thing, it can be for some, but sometimes it's not always amazing, and that's okay, you know, and we're not all meant to be glowing, you know, giving birth.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can walk in and just say, put it in my back, and that is me.
Right.
So I also have to be like that voice for people, because I feel like that's equally as important as saying, you know, like the contrary.
Yeah. So true.
I would be a very interesting doula. I'd be like, oh my God, how many milligrams does me with the needle? Like, what do you want? Full or half? Do you want to walk right after in, you know, a couple days?
Sorry, did you say yes? Because I'm already...
I can't remember, but I've already put it in your back.
You're not going to feel a thing.
It's great.
Trust me, you wanted this.
Yeah, it's wild. Portal, all of that. When you actually sit and think about it, or for me, my case, when I lie down and I'm just thinking, I'm like, there's like teeth and stuff that are in there. You know, like, it's weird. Like you can really wild out.
Did
like,
you say there's teeth?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I know, I just mean like that.
Teeth in potentia.
I was like, yeah, there's teeth, Ben.
Like my future grandchildren. It's like all of it. It's wild. Yeah. Like,
it's crazy.
It's crazy. It is crazy.
Wild. Yeah.
So our classic closing last question is, if you could talk to middle school Shay, what would you say to her?
Oh, what would I say to her? I would say, like, stop trying to conform. Like, I tried to conform so much when I was in middle school. I was definitely in the minority. I grew up in a predominantly Caucasian high school. All my best friends to this day from school, middle school, are blonde, blue eyes, and a fairer complexion. And I did everything in my power, from getting contacts to dyeing my hair blonde to staying out of the sun so I wouldn't get tanned. And I look back and I'm just like, stop, just stop trying to conform, like, be yourself. And it sounds so cliche, but like embrace your uniqueness. And that is what I would say to myself back then. They are funny photos, but there's also a hint of like sadness to them when I'm like, oh my gosh, you're literally doing everything in your power to be the opposite of what you were born with.
Yeah.
You know, and that's so crazy. And I would never want Atlas to like do that. I'd be like, are you crazy? Like, you're born this way, you're beautiful, you know? And my parents, of course, did say that, but you know, your friend group and what you have in your mind sometimes outweighs what anybody else's opinion is. But yeah, that's what I would say. And I would say that to anybody, truthfully.
Yeah, you know? I would need to,
like,
hear that.
Truly, especially in this day and age, even with all the platforms, like, what sets you apart is your uniqueness. And that's what people are interested in. They don't want to see the same thing over and over again. So for your business, for everything, relationships, personal friendship, like, just be you. It's exhausting to try and be anything else.
It's been real, Shay.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Enjoy your time
in London. Do you eat fish and chips?
Thank you. Yeah, I like it.
That may be a craving now that's set in my mind that I have to end up going and getting.
Put it on your vision board.
On my vision board.
As she's backing away from her vision board, she's going to trip over a tin of fish and chips. Like,
up next, Penn reads today's listener-submitted middle school story. Stick around.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Welcome to Nava's favorite part. Nava, quick, what was your favorite part?
I know, last time I had to go first. Someone else go first.
My favorite part was the story Nava told in the beginning about her first kiss. How have we been doing this podcast and I've never heard that story of Nava's first kiss? It was hilarious and so, like, characteristically Nava, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely characteristic.
Going to each person, don't tell my mom.
Don't tell my mom. Please don't tell my mom.
Who tells her mom?
I know.
Nava.
The moment I walk in the door. So, the part that I didn't share was I was like hysterical because I was like building up to tell her. And she was like, did you have sex with a boy in the building?
Whoa.
Whoa.
Your mom already knew.
And
she was
then
like,
it was much easier to tell her that I kissed. And then I told her I kissed him and she started laughing. She's like, oh, okay.
So funny. Okay, yeah. Penn, favorite part.
Favorite part. There were a lot of them. Her vision board. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I find that to be fitting for Shay. Mm-hmm. Just that, I don't know. For her, it almost seems like appreciating that she has every difficulty and anxiety that all people do. Like, it's something seems very simple and direct about that. Mm-hmm. And I can really appreciate that. And I was just thinking, like, yeah, I'm not a vision board person. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
My favorite part was the conversation on pregnancy and just her candor. I really appreciated that because Yeah, I think women are so harshly judged, and whatever they're doing, whatever they're feeling, it's the wrong thing, according to some camp.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I really appreciated that she was straightforward about it.
Today's story comes from the Philippines. It's pretty out there. It's almost unbelievable in the literal sense. So you might want to buckle in. Hi. I had a very tame middle school experience here in the Philippines because my parents were extremely strict and I also wasn't as adventurous as a child should be. So, the craziest thing I've ever done was in sixth grade. A few of my friends invited me to go to the mall one afternoon, and I knew right then and there that my parents weren't going to allow me. Normally, my friends would have taken the bus that day, but one of their parents offered to drive. I decided to have my moment of rebellion. $10 in my pocket, knowing damn well I'd be home pretty late. I went. On the way there was a huge commotion. In the middle of the entire highway, drivers from different cars and school buses were fleeing their vehicles and running away to where I had no idea where they could go. At first, we genuinely thought that a movie was being shot there or there was some really cool kind of highway party going on. I never went out. What did I know? Then, we heard gunshots, real gunshots. We all started panicking. My friend's parents told us to cover our heads and hide under the seats. We were terrified. And I just wanted to go home so badly and hug my mom and apologize immediately. We soon realized this was a bank robbery taking place. The robbers were firing shots everywhere, even at civilians. And I literally saw someone get shot in the leg. The robbers were using public buses for cover, and I could only imagine how much worse things would have been if we had ridden the bus. The whole thing lasted about 10 minutes. But it's etched in my memory forever. I can vividly see the silhouettes of men holding guns lined up against our cars. I got home really late that night. I didn't have a cell phone or a way to reach my parents. They were on the verge of calling the police when I walked in. I was a terrible kid. 10 years later, and my parents still don't know what happened that day, where I went, who I was with, and that I was a part of a highway shootout. Oops. Sorry, Mom.
You can catch Shay Mitchell in the Hulu series Dollface, or you can just follow her online, at Shay Mitchell. Podcrushed is hosted by Penn Badgley, Nava Kavalin, and Sophie Ansari.
Our executive producer is Nora Ritchie from Stitcher.
Our lead producer and editor is David Ansari.
Our secondary editor is Sharaf Entwistle.
Special thanks to Peter Clowney, VP of Content at Stitcher, Eric Eddings, Director of Lifestyle Programming at Stitcher, Jared O'Connell and Brendan Brines for the tech support, and Shruti Marate, who transcribes our tape.
Podcrush was created by Nava Kavalin and is executive produced by Penn Badgley and Nava Kavalin and produced by Sophie Ansari. This podcast is a Ninth Mode production. Be sure to subscribe to Podcrush. You can find us on Stitcher, the SiriusXM app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen. If you'd like to submit a middle school story, go to podcrush.com and give us every detail.
And while you're online, be sure to follow us on socials, or we're telling everyone that your mom still walks you to the bus stop. You don't want that. It's at Podcrush, spelled how it sounds, and our personals are at Penn Badgley, at Nava, that's Nava with three N's, and at Scribble by Sophie. And we're out. See you next week.
Shay, on a very superficial aside, I was actually looking at your bags yesterday because I'm looking for a travel bag. And I was like, but I don't know, because I feel like celebrities endorse things and they really don't care. So to hear you say that, I'm going to buy one.
Yeah, no, I got you, girl. I got you.
Put it on your vision board, Nava.
Oh, yeah, it's on there.
And let's just see what happens. Shay, I don't want you to contact her. Let's just see.
Yeah, this is an
experiment. See if it happens. See if I find you.
Stitcher.